Amen. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Familiar passage. We've preached this passage several times, and there's many ways to preach it. I think the theme here recently has been a lot about talking about rest. Tonight I want to touch on the subject again. The title of the message for Brother Brandon back there is Rest for Your Souls. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for Brother Haynes and the work he's doing, Brother Nail, and we pray for our missionaries. We do thank you for the services this morning and the blessings that you so richly given to us. We do pray tonight, again, we would see this important truth of resting. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of this particular passage, we think of old paths. I've heard lots and lots of messages on it. Again, Isaiah was encouraging the children of Israel to go to old paths. Jeremiah encourages Israel to seek the old paths. And I just want to encourage you here at Heritage, we continue to seek the old paths. And man, you could just preach a lot in different directions on that subject. And I'm thankful for a church that has continued to stay by the stuff and stand for godliness and right, but also to stand firm in the Word of God. And I'm thankful for a church that continues to allow the King James Bible to be preached. I'm thoroughly convinced that the King James Bible is the very Word of God in the English language, that it's the most honest translation, it's the best translation. And we're just going to hang in there and use it. Amen? And then I'm thankful for a church that continues to promote Christ-honoring music, and that we can come together and worship the Lord and not have to go through the smoke and the light show and the rock concert, and that we come to church not to be entertained, but to hear the Word of God preached, and to hear, again, Christ-honoring music, who's audience is not necessarily those sitting in the chairs, but the audience is the Lord. And we try, and we cross the line every once in a while too in entertainment. I think our quartet song a while ago, you know, that's one of those peppy ones. I'm not saying we crossed the line a while ago. I'm just saying we certainly try to be careful. And God is so good to us. And I think the Lord has blessed our church. We are called Dinosaur. We are a dinosaur. We are a dying, our method, our mode of church is dying off the scene, they say. Well, it'll surprise you how many churches are out there still staying by the stuff. That's why I enjoy this morning Providence Baptist College being here. There's actually a Christ-honoring, good, fundamental, independent Baptist church outside of Chicago. I know that shocks many. It shocks me. And as we said, also in California. So there is a remnant out there who are still doing it and staying by the stuff. And by the way, churches that are growing and large churches. And God knows the reason, and God continues to bless. Heritage is amazing. So let's stay by the old paths. Amen? They said he asked them to seek the old paths, and they said, we don't want them. We don't want them. I'm thankful for a church that wants them. And I want to remind our new members, you joined the church, and we are who we are. I don't know. Every once in a while, we get new families in, and about 3 months later, they come to my office, and they'll say, Pastor, have you ever thought about this? And they want to do something contemporary. And I said, we're not a contemporary church in no way, shape, form, or fashion. And so I'd just like to say you joined us. This is who we are. Amen. We're just going to stay there. And God has blessed that. All right, I'm going to get off that subject. All right, that's what I want to preach on. By the way, I almost preached tonight on drinking. I was that close. And I've been studying it again the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I will bring out the subject. I'm still amazed. Even on Facebook, I see it. I'm amazed at Christians who think it's okay to drink alcohol. We've come to a day and age when drinking alcohol has become so prevalent. Read a statistic that said that drinking has increased. Alcohol sales have increased per capita. So not necessarily because of the growth deal, but per capita by 40% in the last 20 years. 20 or 30 years. Isn't that amazing? And it's amazing how many Christians have bit into the lie that you can drink. And speaking on that subject, so then I'm going to head on and preach. Memorial Day tomorrow, everybody's going to come out in their nakedness. Just want to encourage you. The Bible talks about modesty. I'm amazed. You okay? I do this once a year. I get off on this. I'm going to do it one more time. Y'all ready? I'm going to do it every year. I'm going to remind dads not to let their girls run around in their underwear. I just don't get it. You go to the lake, and guys are in, T-shirt and shorts, and girls are like in their underwear. What purpose is that? Does it help their swimming? Are they an Olympic swimmer? I mean, I understand if you're in the Olympics and you need to glide across the water quickly, and I totally get that. I do. I totally get runners wearing certain clothes to help with the wind draft. But I don't think tubing on a lake that you need necessarily the wind to draft correctly. I think you're going to fall off the tube no matter what. And so I think shorts and a t-shirt would be fine for a lady as well. And unless you're looking for somebody that'll be looking at you. Okay, I know I crossed the line. I'm kind of mad today, so I want to head on. I just don't get it. As a dad, I don't get it. As a dad with boys, I don't get it. I just don't understand that. And so, just to remind you, it's not me. Don't shoot the messenger. Modesty. The Bible speaks of modesty. And you can't take the modesty and lay it to the side when it comes to summer and what we allow our men, our boys and girls to wear. But there seems to be this standard for girls a little different than guys. And so that's why we bring that up a lot. Right, girls? Hello? Hi, how are y'all? Good? You know what? Some of you teenage girls could stand up and say, I'm not going to wear that. Right? Amen. Some of you boys, anyway. Boy, I want to stay there. I do. It's not what I want to preach on. All right. I'm going to move on. I really am. That's about as frank as you can get from the pulpit, isn't it? Well, that's not too bad. It says here in verse 16, and you shall find rest for your souls. Walk therein, the old paths is saying, and you'll have rest. We see so many today, Christians alike, who are not experiencing rest in their life. And when we speak of rest, we're not talking about, physical rest. Everybody needs physical rest, and I hope you get some tomorrow. Those of you who have off, and I personally will be sleeping in. I hope. I will get to meet with the Shepherd family tomorrow, so y'all pray about that. But just finding that physical rest. Not this week, but next week, our family will take our annual family vacation, and I don't rest on vacation. I don't physically rest on vacation. I think it's a sin. No, I'm just kidding. That's not my ideal vacation. My ideal vacation is not setting somewhere and just... My ideal vacation is I'll sleep when I get home. I want to be busy. I want to be doing things. I want to do stuff. And my boys know that, and they love that about me. So I'm not on a vacation to physically rest. I'm on a vacation to have fun. And that's what I enjoy doing, whereas my wife is the opposite. And it's not a bad thing, but she would rather rest and have that time, and that's fine. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about physical rest here, because physical rest is important. And many times we don't have, and I'm telling you this, many times we're not experiencing emotional and spiritual rest because we are physically tired. And don't allow yourself to get to that spot. And some of you are overworking yourself, and you do need to take a respite, and you do need to take some time and physically unwind and let yourself have some physical rest. And you'd be surprised how that would affect you emotionally, relationally, and spiritually as well. So, but here, speaking of rest, is talking about that Godward contentment. That contentment we have, as Paul talked about in the New Testament, that in whatever state he was, therewith to be content. And experiencing the joy. And we talked about that when Brother Stewart was here. We preached on it a couple other times. And so how do we have this rest? Well, we think about here, we're going to use the illustration of the Word of God. We can rest in His Word. How are we to experience rest? Well, we rest in His Word. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We rest in the Word of God, rest in the truth of His Word. Psalm 119, verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes, speaking of His Word. I will not forget thy Word. When we're not delighting in His Word, we may again deny the author of His Word. In other words, we're to rest in His Word. We're to rest in His grace of the Word of God. Rest in the truth of the Word of God, and we're to rest in the grace of God. We're to rest in the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth. You're not going to have contentment unless you absolutely believe that the Word of God is truth, absolute truth, and that what it tells you is true. And then we rest in the grace that is in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for redeeming grace, that He saved me by His grace. I'm thankful for sustaining grace. I'm not going to go read it for lack of time tonight, but most of you know it. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. Paul said there was a thorn that was given to him, and he asked the Lord to remove it from him. God did not. And then he said what? My grace. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. And in our time of need, His grace will come. Listen, grace is not just for salvation. I'm thankful I'm saved by grace through faith. Not at works lest any man should boast. But grace is more than just God's unmerited favor. It's His power even unto enablement. It's His redeeming grace, but it's also His sustaining grace. I'm not just to be saved by grace, I am to live by grace. I know we say that a lot, and it's cliche, but it's biblical. It's what the Bible says. If you will live in the grace of God, you will experience this contentment, this rest for your soul. Understanding that you can't do it, that God does it through you. It doesn't come by working your way for it or by doing something. Just like you can't work for salvation, you cannot work for His power and grace, His contentment. It comes from the Lord, His sustaining grace. Many times we are resting in someone or something, and that someone or something is a lot smaller than Jesus. You know, you rest in your job, or you rest in your family, whatever it may be, but boy, they're a lot smaller than Jesus. We ought to rest in the truth of the Word of God. We ought to rest in the grace of the Word of God, and we ought to rest in the theme of the Word of God. Everybody know what that one is? We ought to rest in Jesus Christ. Look well to the fire. William Booth said this. Look well to the fire of your soul, for it is the tendency of the fire to go out. Many times we find ourselves weak and anemic as Christians because the fire has gone out. I was thinking of the Master Clubs again as they completed this last week. And I think about how hard, you know, teachers and workers work all during the year and during the school year. Think about the Sunday school teacher every Sunday teaching that class. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself weak and anemic. You'll find the fire slowly dying. And we need to remember that we need to have that contentment and grace, and that contentment and grace is found in Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes on Him. Keeping our eyes on Him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. And we need to just trust in the Lord. We need to put our faith in Him. Psalm 119, verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And we need to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And we say it all the time, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. As we serve Him, as we live this life, as we go through work, and we go through raising kids and blessing grandkids and whatever it may be, remember that we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll lose that joy and that rest. We need to remember that sometimes the path to external success and internal emptiness are the same road. You can have all the external success you want and be just as empty as inside as anybody else who hasn't experienced success externally. Hello. You ever just, you know, I know this may be a silly illustration, but you got to the point where you can buy a new car financially. We actually got in that position because we had to. I was driving back and forth from Bowie to Fort Worth. In fact, South Fort Worth, there off campus, drive to Worth Baptist Church to go to Norris Baptist Bible Seminary. And so it was about 80 miles. one way, and so we were driving. I had purchased a 1977 Honda Civic hatchback, yellow. That was a fine car for $300 in cash. And I had driven it my senior year in high school because I was driving back and forth in Nakona from Bowie about 20 miles one way to see my future wife about every day. And my truck got like 3 miles a gallon, so decided, you know what, I'll buy this car for $300. I'll make that up in gas money. And I did very easily. And so one time I was driving it back and forth to college. And one day I was also helping at the church, and y'all heard this story before, I'm going to tell it again. The sending unit for the electric fan went out on the radiator. So that little fan that keeps your radiator cool, the sending unit went out. The fan would still work, but it wasn't getting any electricity. So I just took the wire off the horn and put it on the blower fan for the radiator. And so when you stopped at a stoplight, you just pushed the horn button. The horn didn't come on. I didn't hook the horn, but you just hooked it, and it turned the fan on. And it kept the motor cool. It was a good fix. It's called Southern Engineering. It works every time. But one day I went to the church building, and I jumped out of the church building, didn't think a thing about it, left that car running. When I got back, it wasn't the same car. Car has aluminum heads. They were not. Anyway. So we had another little Honda Civic, a 1979 Honda Civic, hatchback, gray one. I love Honda Civics. They're great cars. And that was my wife's car. And it started having problems. It just died. You go 10 miles, it'd die. I took it to, and I worked on my own cars back then, and I couldn't figure it out. I thought, you know, vapor lock or something. I couldn't figure it out. It was getting gas. It was getting fire. Anyway. That's a whole other story. Took it to real mechanics. They said, we don't know what the problem is. Okay, so me and my wife looked at each other and said, all right, here's how much money we make. Which was, at the end of every week, was like $30 left in the account, you know. So anyway, I went to James Wood, and we traded in that gray Honda Civic. And James Wood gave us $200. And I bought a Geo Metro hatchback, two-door, three-cylinder. That was a tremendous car. I put 77,000 miles on that car, going to college back and forth, in about 2.5 years, and never had one problem with that car. Got 50 miles to the gallon. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's with the floor pedal all the way down to the floor, 90% of the time, 48, 50 miles a gallon. That thing would almost do 80 miles an hour if the wind was blowing just right. Of course, back then I didn't weigh what I weigh now. I weighed about 220. So this car is still lean this way, but it's all right. But can I tell you, we were excited about our first new car. And back then they gave you a big incentive. A first-time car buyer, it was like $1,000 off. Anyway, it was pretty neat, and first payment came due, and it's like, just no contentment, no joy. It became what it was. It was a mode of transportation to get me to school and back. Contentment and joy, it's not found in externals. And that's such a silly illustration. Man, you put whatever you want to in that same spot, it won't bring the joy and contentment that you're seeking, the rest for your soul. And that's what you're seeking. That's what I'm seeking. We need to rest in the truth of the Word of God. We need to rest in the grace of the Word of God. We need to rest in the theme of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Put our trust in Him. And we need to rest in the promises of His Word. Matthew chapter 11, very familiar passage, verse 29 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, what? And my burden's light. And we've talked about this here lately too. This particular verse is not saying there won't be a yoke. He is saying His yoke is easier than the yoke the world gives us. And so we want to be in His will, whatever that is, for our life. And then that yoke will be easier than the yoke of being out of His will. So when you get in the will of God, the yoke is light. And that's where we want to be at, teenagers. Amen? Some of you still seeking direction for your life of where to go. You want to do your very best through the help of the Holy Spirit and praying and wisdom from parents and from youth pastor and whomever to find and to seek out that will of God and stay in it, because that is where you'll find rest. And it may, it, you know, again, for a missionary, we think about Brother Joel Haynes living there on the reservation. For me, that would not be an easy yoke. For him, it is, because he's in the will of God for his life. We think about those who are serving in missionaries in the Middle East. That's not an easy yoke, is it? Not for Brother Schuler, not for me. I don't want to go over there and serve in the Middle East. And God hasn't called me there. If I was to do that, out of God's will, it would be a hard yoke for me. But see, you get in God's will, it'll be easy yoke. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We need to rest in the promises of God. Jesus calls us to His rest. And meekness is His method. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And meekness is His method. The meek man carries not all who is greater than he. For he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. The rest Christ offers is the rest of meekness. The blessed relief which comes when we accept ourselves for what we are and cease to pretend. It will take some courage at first, but the needed grace will come as we learn that we are sharing this new and easy yoke with the strong Son of God Himself. He says, "My yoke is easy." That's A.W. Tozer. By the way, Brother Tozer, man, if you want to read some good stuff, get anything Brother Tozer's written, A.W. Tozer. Knowledge of the Holy is the best one. The rest we have, we should rest in His promises. By the way, we shouldn't rest in our performances. Rest is not found in our accomplishments. Rest is not found in that identity. Rest is not found in your identity at work. Rest is not even found in your identity as a father, or your identity as a son, or your identity as a daughter. Whatever it may be, your rest is not found in identity as a mother. Rest is not found in conforming to a standard. In other words, you say, "Well, if I do this, 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 and this, I'll have rest." And whatever that this and this this may be, you know, it may be some of the things I was talking about a while ago. You know, if I, you know, don't drink and don't chew and go with girls that do, I'll feel accomplished and satisfied. That won't give you rest. It may be the right thing to do, but it won't give you rest. Not godly contentment, not that rest. Rest is not found in conforming to a standard. Rest is not found in trying to prove something to God. So many people are trying to prove something to God. Listen, proving something to God is not going to give you rest. Rest is not found in trying to prove something to man. In other words, you proving to your boss you can do this and you can do that and that, it may bring you some satisfaction, but it's not going to bring rest to you. Not true rest. True rest, godly contentment, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His word, His grace, His truth, His promises. It's putting on His yoke. Making my dad proud of me won't bring me godly contentment and rest for my soul. That rest is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest, acceptance, is found in the truth of His word. Rest, acceptance, is found in the grace of His word. Rest and acceptance is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and His promises. Do you have rest? Do you have rest? How is your rest going? Are you content? Do you experience joy? Jesus again said, "I came to give life and to give life more abundant." As Christians, we'll experience the abundant life and have that rest. True rest is found in the Lord Jesus. Rest for now and eternity. It's not just talking about resting in heaven. It's talking about in eternity. And I wrote down the illustration again about vacationing. So many people will use sports or entertainment or many other things to seek this downtime. I need some downtime. And I understand that. We all need, again, that physical rest and some downtime. But the rest that you truly need is found in Jesus Christ. It's to go to Him and say, "Lord, I am tired." I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritually tired. I am tired emotionally. I am tired. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. the kids have got me, the husband's got me, the boss has got me, whatever it is. Hello? Anybody home? I'm almost done and we're going to get out early. Is anybody home? Amen? You want real rest, godly contentment? You'll find it at the altar. You'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. Man, very appropriate invitational hymn. I Need Thee Every Hour. Hymn 118, as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths found in your word. And Lord, that we can trust in them. We thank you, God, for the grace that's been so freely given to us. Not just in salvation, but Lord, to sustain us and to give us contentment. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, whom we should keep our eyes on. Help us to keep our eyes on him. God, we thank you for your promises, your blessed and great promises. Help us to put our confidence in those promises. Lord, help us not to put our hope and our rest in people and performance, but help us to put our rest in you. Well, thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour.